Paul here with today's tip to help you pass ACLS. Being the team leader while running a code is challenging. There are lots of tasks that need to be done during a cardiac arrest, and it's the team leader's role to ensure that these tasks are being performed. The algorithm approach to BLS and ACLS make things easier with regard to standardized decision-making and priority of events. Everybody should know, for example, that the first thing we do when identifying an unconscious patient is to check for responsiveness by tapping their shoulders and asking, "Are you okay?" or something along those lines. If the patient doesn't respond, the rescuer should call for assistance, open the airway, and look and listen for breathing while simultaneously checking for a carotid pulse for 5 to 10 seconds. At this point, we have made an assessment, breathing and pulse, and can use the algorithm to guide our next actions using the if-then methodology. For example, if the patient is breathing and has a pulse, then we control the airway and perform a secondary assessment to identify the cause of unconsciousness. If the patient isn't breathing, but does have a pulse, then we begin rescue breathing, administering one breath every 6 seconds. If the patient has no breathing or only agonal gasping respirations and no pulse, then we make a decision. We either go get the AED if we're alone, or start CPR if we've been able to call for help and waiting for the AED or monitor and defibrillator to arrive. Most of the algorithms are pretty straightforward in this way. I believe that every medical professional should be well-versed in the BLS skills without the use of a reference. For ACLS's more complex algorithms, we have reference cards to assist us if needed. It's a good practice to keep copies of ACLS algorithms in your AED or on your code cart so that they can be referenced during a code. The beginning of cardiac arrest algorithm is pretty clear because it is BLS. We deliver good CPR until the AED or monitor and defib shows up with help. We should assess the patient's rhythm and safely deliver a shock as soon as possible if the patient is in VF or VT. In the case of an AED, the machine will determine if the rhythm is shockable or not. From there, if you're using an AED, then follow the directions regarding CPR, pulse checks, and defibs. The AED will run on 2-minute cycles. This point is our first ACLS decision. If a shock was not indicated and delivered, the patient is likely in PEA or asystole, and we will go down the right side of the algorithm and administer epinephrine while performing good CPR. Epinephrine is given every 3 to 5 minutes, so with 2-minute cycles of CPR, we would give another epinephrine after each 2 cycles of CPR, or approximately every 4 minutes. While CPR is in progress, we should consider the H's and T's reversible causes, consider placing an advanced airway such as an ET tube, LMA, or double lumen airway such as the CombiTube or King airway. If the patient is in a shockable rhythm, then we deliver a shock at the manufacturer's energy setting if we're using a biphasic defibrillator, or use 360 joules if we're using a monophasic defibrillator, after we've ensured that everyone is clear to ensure the safety of our team. We will then work down the left side of the adult cardiac arrest algorithm. High-quality CPR should be immediately resumed for an additional 2 minutes or 5 cycles. During this time is an opportunity to review the patient's history, establish an IV if one isn't already in place, insertion of basic or advanced airway, hook up capnography, and begin thinking of reversible causes, H's and T's. We will do good CPR for 2 minutes before reassessing the rhythm, and if the patient is in VT or VF, then safely deliver our second shock. After the second shock, we will begin a simple cycle of high-quality CPR with minimal interruptions of less than 10 seconds, administration of 1 milligram epinephrine IV push, reassess and shock as needed, resume CPR, administration of an antiarrhythmic such as amiodarone or lidocaine, reassess and shock as needed, and resume CPR. Basically, we alternate between epinephrine and antiarrhythmic after each shock, given in 2-minute intervals with high-quality, uninterrupted CPR being performed except to safely deliver a shock. One exception to this flow would be if the team leader decides to use lidocaine rather than amiodarone. Remember that amiodarone is given every 3 to 5 minutes for refractory VFVT, so it fits well within this cycle, whereas lidocaine is given every 5 to 10 minutes. If using lidocaine, we will skip an antiarrhythmic medication administration until lidocaine is maxed out at 3 milligrams per kilogram, and then we would move on to amiodarone, which would fit in the cycle because it is given every 3 to 5 minutes. We will continue this cycle until we achieve ROSC or the patient goes into asystole where antiarrhythmics and shocks are not indicated. This can be a little confusing at first, but it's an easy cycle to remember once you get going. Doing all of this is a lot easier, too, if the team leader enlists the assistance of their team. For example, the CPR coach or the code scribe can call out 2-minute intervals once an advanced airway is in place and we're no longer doing CPR cycles. The person administering medication can ask the team leader in advance if they'd like them to prepare the next anticipated medication if nothing was ordered. If at any time you become lost or don't know what to do, you can't go wrong by ensuring that good CPR is being done and asking from the assistance of your team. Everyone that participates in a code is important. I know today's tip was a bit longer than usual, but I hope it was useful for you. Don't fret if you're still a bit confused. You will get plenty of practice as both a team leader and a team member during your class. After experiencing the flow of a well-run code a few times, things will be much clearer. Thanks for listening, and best of luck with your class.